Once again, good morning to everybody. So glad that we're here. Listen, aren't you glad that we serve the God that still answers prayers? I don't know about you, but every time I call, he answers. And he heard my cry. He continues to hear my cry. Therefore, to God be the glory and the thanks for who he is and all that he's done. We give God praise and thanksgiving today for his faithfulness and for his kindness. He is Lord, and he's God all by himself. And I know it's bad English, but the old church said that he don't need nobody's help. Yes. I need thee, oh, I need thee. It's getting personal now. Every hour, I need thee. Sing at home with me. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. I'm not ashamed to say it. Opportunity to bring our offerings to you, and the offering that we have is our living body. So we thank you for receiving the gift of our living body today, Father, as we give it to you as a living sacrifice. So we thank you for your word. Thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, y'all, if you're not ashamed to say out loud that you need God, would you just clap your hands and around your home, tell everybody in your house, everybody, we need God. We need God. We need him. 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 Oh, bless me now, my Savior, my Savior, Lord, I come. It's been a long week, y'all, but Lord, your Bibles. Lord, we thank you for your word today. As we read it, it comes alive. Let it be for us whatever your desire is for it to be. And we give you thanks for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, listen, we're going to continue the series that we started on last week. The series entitled Mind Field. Mind Field. Mind Field. We're navigating life's emotional mind field. Navigating life's emotional mind field. And on last week, we had a lot of emotional things going on, even as a church. And so I want us to be in prayer for the Hill family. We know that Quentin went home to be with the Lord, Quentin Hill, on this past week. And so we want to keep Tika and Zaria and the rest of their family in prayer. His funeral services will be Friday morning at 11. And the information has gone out to the church, and we will continue to let you guys know what we need you to do to help support the family for that service. So keep Tika and Azaria and the rest of their family and close friends, keep them in prayer. So let's just bow now. Father, thank you for being Tika's God and Zaria's God, that they trust you, even in times like these where they are grieving and they're in pain, they're hurting. They understand, but they don't understand. So, Father, it's in these times of these mysteries that we need you to be God for them. And Father, we'll do our part as their brothers and sisters in the Lord and be there for them. But Father, we give them to you, for you are the only one that can continually wipe tears from eyes and massage hearts, Father. You're the only one. So we thank you that you are their God and they know you. In Jesus' name, amen. On last week, we started the series dealing with heart first. And it's my prayer that as you're dealing with your emotional roller coasters of life, that you're doing your part to protect your heart first. You have to understand, as Proverbs, Solomon says in Proverbs, that the heart is really important. He talks to his son, Solomon does, and says the heart is vulnerable, so we must protect in all that we do, guard our hearts. And so Paul spoke to us there in Philippians 4 and says that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, so if we want to have God's peace, we got to guard our heart and guard our heart and our mind. So we pray that that was an encouragement. Go back and look at that. You can check out Mac in the morning. We took more time, as we do, to even explain that even more and go further. On today, we will continue this series. And the title of our sermon today is Be Strong. Be Strong. Be Strong. Found in Ephesians chapter 6 will be where we will land in a minute. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Subtopic today is trust the plan. Trust the plan. Trust the plan. Be strong and trust the plan. Be strong and trust the plan. The lesson that many of us have learned, unfortunately, is that there are some senseless and some wicked people in the world. And these people do not care anything about us. But as long as we are leaning their way and supporting their bottom line, they like us. But the moment we wake up and come to our own realization, it becomes apparent that they really didn't like us in the first place. We just helped their bottom line. There have been some relationships that we all have been a part of sometime or another, possibly, where they were abusive, they were destructive, they were demeaning to who God was in our lives. But one day we woke up and we found out they really didn't like us in the first place. Again, we just satisfied helping to meet their bottom line. As we discussed this past month, the supernatural power of the Lord and how the power of the Lord rested upon David in 1 Samuel 16 and 13, that same power of the Lord lives within us. So as sons and daughters of God, we must understand that we no longer have to live vulnerable to what the culture or relations offer us. We have supernatural covering through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says to us in Ephesians 3, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think according to the power that's at work in us. So this power that's not just on us but lives in us, we have it to be at work in our lives. But we must access the power, let the power do what only the power can do. So we must live closed to the culture, but open to God. I'm going to give us a statement in a minute, but I want to preference this statement with another statement. Because the statement I'm about to give is mostly accurate, yet there's a caveat to it. I want to make sure you hear my heart behind the words. I told you I'm being very sensitive as we're going through this series of dealing with depression and anxiety and the emotions of life. So I never want to come across as a practitioner as if I study this as a practitioner. This is my livelihood, because it's not. Nor do I want to come across as someone that has experienced this to the level that you may have experienced it, because I have not, okay? But here's the thought. We've got to make sure, as sons and daughters of God, that we live closer in our faith with God than having limited faith. If we happen to have limited faith, it does not speak of who we are in relationship with Jesus Christ. So you can have some live emotional issues in your life, and it is not questioning who you are with Christ. Now, I want to say that again, because many of us have heard that, because someone has said to us, if they find out that we have some, that we have some emotional things going on, they say, read your Bible. Well, you're not reading your Bible enough. You know, if they find out that we're taking some medicine, won't you just pray more? As if to say, I'm not spiritual enough, so I need to do something else to make me look more spiritual. You can be saved and still have some serious emotional roller coasters going on. I want to make sure we understand that, and we're walking well with that, because the sad reality is that the root of Christian depression and anxiety is the presence of limited faith. Limited faith. We have faith towards salvation, but there must be a challenge for us to trust God beyond salvation. We must be willing to trust God with our frustrations. Trust God with our disappointments with people. We have to trust God in how we're going to walk this thing out. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus says, is having this conversation, and he says, if you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for those who believe. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. All right? So you can be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and that with fire, and still deal with depression. You can be saved and have doors to the church and have the code to get in the building and still wrestle with anxiety. Lord, help my unbelief. All right, everybody. So the prayer, what I have been praying for one church and for all those that would hear this, is that we will have a moment of spiritual open consciousness. Psychologically, consciousness is when one becomes aware of their internal situations and their external situations. So I just don't want you as a human being to become conscious. We need to become spiritually conscious. Because Freud would say consciousness feeds into that id, superego, and the id, the superego, and the ego. That's what it is. Talks about the consciousness of being aware, unconscious, or overly conscious. No, because that signifies that you need to learn more about yourself. Well, that's the problem. We've spent time learning more about our issues and the diagnoses of others that we have not spent time with our God, whom is the answer for our lack of consciousness. So if we're going to deal with this issue of emotional roller coasters, we've got to trust God's plan for it. We've got to be strong in the Lord. I want you to know that I'm not saying this with a finger pointed at you. I'm saying those with my hands raised up also. I've got to be strong in the Lord. We all have got to be strong in the Lord and trust God's plan for our lives. Challenge that we all have is that because we have some issues, because the doctor said we have anxiety, and we know we have something because we can't sleep at night. We know there's something going on because we can't get out of the bed in the morning. Please understand, my friends, is that we are never going to get out of the circumstances that life presents. So Mac, are you saying that I'll be depressed for all my life? No, I'm not saying that you will be depressed all your life. I'm saying there will be depressive things all your life. We don't have to walk in it, but we're never going to walk completely away from it until we in heaven with our Father. Okay? Write down John. John 16:33 says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So you're going to always have silly people around. You're going to always have mean people around that are out for their bottom line and not for your good. But take heart, because God has conquered it. Oh, glory to God. I know somebody's getting that as they used to say in TV land, you're understanding the fact that no matter what's going on around you, although there are some depressive things around, although there are some things that may cause anxiety, God has overcome it. So we'll never get out of it, but we have overcome it by the power of the Lord. Because there will always be trouble. Always be crazy, silly people around us. Okay, let me jump to the passage. So let's look here. So here in Ephesians, we're in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, everybody already there. Paul, this is the end of this particular letter to the church in Ephesus. And as strong as Paul is, and as spiritual as Paul is, Paul understands, and we'll deal with this in Mac in the morning in Romans 8, what it means to wrestle with one's flesh. Paul understands that as spiritual as he was, as grand as the Damascus Road experience was for him when he lost his physical eyesight for 3 days, he understands to have an issue with being spiritual and fleshly at the same time. So Paul writes in here, chapter 6, and we all recognize, we talked about it before, that Ephesians is a book of unity of the body and all that, and there are some things that are specific that Paul talks about in Ephesians, but I love how he closed out chapter 6 in the book. He says, finally, I'm not making it up, he said finally, right? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. If you're going to conquer this emotional roller coaster, you got to be strong in the Lord. There are no qualms about it. There are no ifs. Be strong in the Lord. Plus, have a 20. Have a Colt 45. No. Be strong in the Lord. Have a couple of blunts on the side. No. Be strong in the Lord. And a double barrel shotgun. No. Just be strong in the Lord. Because we'll spend more time dealing with the residue instead of dealing with the issue. The issue for us as believers is our contentment with God, not all of the external things the world says we have to have for safety and security. I'm not making it up. Be strong in the Lord. So the first point, just write it down, be strong in God's power. Be strong in God's power. Just be strong in God's power. Be strong in God's power. For some reason, we continue to be casual with God and cozy with the enemy. And because we live a life where we're so casual, I'm his child, he's going to take care of me. We're casual, but we're so cozy. We nestle up with stuff we ought not be nestling up with, and people we ought not be nestling up with. We're so cozy with the devil that we forget that the enemy never takes a break. We get so comfortable in our beautiful blessings from God. Beautiful families, everybody's healthy. Beautiful houses, beautiful cars, beautiful jobs, beautiful friendships, and we get comfortable. And we think, there's nothing big is going on right now, so maybe things could meet. I'm good. Whenever you're good with the devil, you got a problem. Whenever you're good with having the devil's peace, that means we got a problem somewhere. And so the challenge for us as believers in 2020 is to be strong in the Lord. Never finding ourselves in a system of comfortability, because your enemy never takes a break. This warfare that you are in, I don't want you to ever get so consumed with yourself that you think that everybody is at peace with you. Your enemy is sitting back, being calculative, trying to find the right moment to get your undivided attention, to pull the rug underneath your feet, to see you splash your face on the biggest rock on the ground. The enemy is just waiting time and trying to get you. You got to keep your guard up, everybody. Therefore, we must be strong in the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 10, 17 says this, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. You see, this is the kind of God we have on our side. You see, some of y'all have a God, and some of y'all have been gods in some folks' lives, and you have accepted bribes. You have allowed people to coax your idea to bend with their idea. But you are, I want you to know that nobody can make God change his mind about you. No. We got to be strong in God. Don't be strong in your denomination. Don't be strong in your family's last name. Don't be strong in your church's logo. Be strong in God. Psalm 62 and 11 says, one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to God. Y'all see what the psalmist said? He said, one thing God has spoken, two things I heard. Power belongs to God. See, we got to be careful, you all, that we're giving the wrong people the power that belongs to God. We're giving the wrong people the access that ought to belong to God in our lives. We're giving to other people in our lives. That's why Solomon said to the Psalms again, guard your heart. We have given the wrong people the ability to speak into our heart, our mind valve, and we wonder why things are not lining up at all the way we think it ought to line up, and it's because we're not trusting in the power of the Lord. We're leaning on others. John says in Revelation 5 and 12, I got to move, Revelation 5 and 12, in a loud voice they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Please understand, my friends, on today that you serve, you are in relationship with the strong God, the mighty God. Be strong in God's power. Everything is in God's control. Look at verse number 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. So not only am I suggesting to you this morning to be strong in God's power, I'm also suggesting you to be strong in God's protection. Be strong in God's power. Be strong in God's protection. We have been given, here it is, the armor of God. God gave us this armor, divinely put together from heaven, to cover us as we are in battle. Now get this. Now what the armor is supposed to do, it's supposed to keep us standing. All right? So when you work your armor and let your armor do what the armor is supposed to do, it's supposed to always keep you from falling. So the armor keeps you standing. So I have to ask a question. Some of us are finding ourselves on our knees for more than just praying. For some reason, we are kneeling down to some unknown gods. We are not walking in full access and power of the full armor of God. We're not using it all. So therefore, if we're not using all that God has given us, we're not using any of it right, because all of it goes together. We're going to see in a minute that this belt, every piece of armor is connected to the belt. So if you're not wearing the belt, you can't hold everything else that's on your body. We'll deal with that in a minute. God has given us his protection through his armor. Everybody follow me so far? So as we fight, the challenge is some of us are addressing the evenness in our lives spiritually naked. And we are so vulnerable to everything the enemy throws at us, because we're not covered at all. We're thinking that just because we are saved, everything on earth is satisfied. And if that was the case, there would have been no need for God, for the Spirit of the Lord to speak to Paul and say, put on the full armor. We need the armor to protect us while we're here on earth. And some of us, we are so vulnerable because we are spiritually naked. The only time we read a scripture is when it's on the screen on Sunday. So we're spiritually naked. The only time we literally bow our heads and close our eyes to pray longer than a minute is when we're in some kind of church service, because we don't do it at home. We do it at home, we fall asleep. We are spiritually naked, and we wonder why we don't have power to blow dust off a peanut. Because we're spiritually naked. You shouldn't feel like you got to call the pastor to come pray for your family. Husbands, you're your home. You're your own pastor. You're the pastor of your own house. Pray over your own children. Rev, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. Well, listen, he's 21. What you want me to do? He's bigger than me. All right. And we have been addressing life spiritually away from Christ. Now, get this. I'm talking to believers, right? So even for us, that we are in relationship with God, and yet we're not allowing the power of the resurrection of Christ to do what that power has done for us all. Jot down your notes in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, we see this episode of Jesus and his disciples sailing in a boat. And as they are sailing in the boat, a storm comes. The storm is so rickety and it's raging, and it causes his disciples to get upset with Jesus. Why? Now, here they are sailing with Jesus, and because they became stressed out, they became mad at Christ. Get this, because Christ wasn't as stressed out as they are. And they have the gall to say, "Charis, they're not that we perish." And here they are in the same stressful moment as Christ. But since Christ is not freaking out as they're freaking out, they question the authority and the love of Christ. Listen, let me step to this side. Some of us are living today, and we're so upset at God because we don't think God is hearing our cry. We don't think God is hearing our prayer because we want God to step in right now, come in right now. There's something that we all learn in the storm. Jesus, he wakes up. He says, "Peace be still." And he say, "What kind of man is this that the winds and the water obey his voice?" Whatever stress you have going on, and you will have some, all of us have stress, you have to know, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, is with you in that storm. Oh, glory to God. And because we believe that, now we can cast our cares on him. Because we trust. Although God is not moving as quick as we think he ought to be moving, like how much longer, God, we still trust that he cares for us. I tell you, I love God's caring program. And I was telling my wife this morning, I said, people got to be glad that we are not their God. You know, you got to be glad that you're not the God of your spouse. Because you say, "God, get her attention. Show her. Help her see what she did to me was wrong." But on the flip side, you have to be grateful that God's grace extends even beyond, and it frees us up and forgives us of what we've done wrong. Let me move on. Look at verse 12 and 13. Time is drawing now. Verse 12 says, For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. I told you a minute ago that the goal and the crux of having the armor is so that you can stand. Your armor is not functioning to its capability if it's on and you're lying on the ground. The armor is to keep you standing. So jot this down if you would, Will. Be strong in God's preparation. Be strong in God's preparations. God's protection plan is something that we were given when we gave our lives to Christ. The Spirit of the Lord lives within us. And because we are now saved, our next step is now to become discipled. And as we are being discipled, we are now learning the truth of what salvation is and how it manifests in our lives. Some of us have never sat down to really systematically read the scriptures to understand the power that we have that's in God's word. This is God's protection for his children. For us to find the truths about who we are through Jesus Christ in his word. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That's one of the first things you learn in life now as a believer. Because the problem is, we are fighting the wrong enemy. That's a problem. We have labeled the wrong person as the enemy. All right, now we've talked about this before, but I'm going to give it to you again. We only have three enemies in the world. You have the enemy. You got three enemies. One enemy is the world. So jot down 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Everybody say back at me, the world is an enemy. You also have my flesh. So put down the flesh. Galatians 5:16, Paul says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Also, the devil is an enemy. Write down 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So we've got to make sure, my friends, If what Paul is saying is true, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places, we got to recognize that our real enemy is not the one that offended us. All right, I'm going to say it again. Say with me. I am not saying that we should not hold people accountable. Don't you walk out here saying, well, Rev said. No, Rev didn't say that. That's why we have a judicial system and laws. So everybody that does wrong ought to be held accountable. I'm talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about the fact that we have lived a lifetime in anger at people that are dead. We have lived a lifetime in a depressive state because we want to hear somebody say, I'm sorry, and they can no longer say it. Our enemy is not a person. I'm going to say it again, because we'll leave here today and we'll struggle with it for a minute, but then we'll go right back into that same slope again, because we want to point the finger at somebody. We want to look in somebody's eyes and hold them accountable. We have spent a lifetime of disappointments, and the Lord wants us to know that you can have freedom. In understanding that your issue is not with the person, your issue is with the spirit that has entered into that person. Some folks just lie when telling the truth will do. You don't have to lie. Just tell the truth. It's just, why? But there's a spirit. The devil, as John says, is the father of all lies. There is a spirit that has launched and is now invested into the lives of some folks. You got to understand that the devil is not omnipresent. We're giving the devil a whole lot of credit. I know Mr. Wilson said in the 70s, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do nothing. That's a spirit in you that you have given entry to, that there is now a desire that I want to do it. I want to tell somebody else. I want to shoot somebody. Now, don't blame it on a person. No, that's a spirit. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Some of us, we want to fight somebody. We just want to see somebody bleed. We want to see somebody suffer physically. Bring it on them, Lord. Weigh your vengeance on them, Lord. You said you would get them. Is that what the Lord said? We just start throwing scriptures out there. And if we use anything from Old Testament, God was talking specifically against his enemies, the Philistines, not your brother, your sister. Get them, Lord, get them. As if God is a bull to sick them. Against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Listen, I made the statement a minute ago, and I'll say it again. Some of us think that just because we're having a day of peace, that our enemy is not out there calculating, trying to figure out how to rage war against your heart. And by now, the enemy knows he may not be able to get you, but if the enemy can get your child, the child starts acting crazy out of nowhere. I'm like, okay, now hold on. What's going on? It's not your child. It's the enemy. Listen. The enemy is so calculative that the enemy knows that there are some things that the enemy cannot present to you anymore. The enemy knows that, well, that's not going to bother. You know, Jordan is strong right there. That's not going to get him today. I got something else. Okay, Mackenzie, she up there singing. Okay, I got you. Okay, I'm going to show you. Okay, I see what you're doing. Okay, Aaron. Okay, he's playing that bass again. Okay. Rick didn't get him. Okay. I got some. Okay, Michael. Okay, Will. Okay, got his hair, new hairdo. That didn't get him. Okay, I got something for him. Okay, I'm going to get him. The devil. You see, let me tell y'all. Come on, y'all, come in. I'm going to tell you something. This is what the devil does now. The devil will take all of those old tapes, and all the devil wants to do is plant that seed of that old tape. Because the devil knows he cannot mess you up, but he just wants to keep, he wants you to keep hitting replay. That's what happened. The devil knows that he cannot mess you up, but if he can get you to disrespect yourself, if the devil can get you to diminish yourself, so now you got to get over playing the tape. You got to get over what you did in the tape, who you did it with, and all the drama of 85. You got to deal with it every day in 2020. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. You see, this Americanized of Christendom has said to us that the devil is somebody under deep in the ground, real low, got horns and a tail, and he's red. And so we're looking for that person. I ain't seen nobody with no horns in a long time. We're trying to find somebody to walk around with a tail. That's not the devil. The devil is a spirit. Again, the devil is not omnipresent, but the devil has little imps. And if the devil can drop parachute a thought in your mind that keeps you from pressing forward, the devil has done what the devil is trying to do. You do understand the devil does not care about you living. The devil just doesn't want you to have the authority that God has given you. You can live, ting, ting. The devil don't care about you living. The devil just don't want you to know who you're living for. The devil don't want you to have the power of God resting and ruling in your life. You can live, but the devil wants to squash your testimony. That's why everybody, all our, my brothers and sisters, all believers, we got to make sure we're living above the standard of God's word. Because in any given moment, the moment you let your hair down and just do, I'm just going to do it because I want to do it. There's a moment somebody got to get a camera out watching you. And that 3-minute clip is what they put on the internet and will destroy your testimony over 5 seconds of fleshly moving. Now, I'm not becoming legalistic in my old age, but there is a standard of God's word. There is a standard we got to live up to. At home, in the car when nobody else is riding, you by yourself, when you're traveling by yourself, what are you going to on the internet? You got a standard. God is pulling the covers back. Therefore, my friends, we got to understand that we play a big part in what is exposed about our lives. Got to move on because the clock is about to start blinking. Be strong in God's preparation. For this struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. So listen, everybody, please understand this, that the devil is, once again, not somebody that's 100 feet up under the ground. The devil is in heavenly realms. Please never make the mistake. Please never make a mistake that the devil and God are on the same playing field, because they're not. Please don't make that mistake. The devil does not have the power that God has. Now, he does not have all power, so make sure we're clear on that. Yet the devil is in heavenly realms. That's why there is a war going on. There is a war going on for your soul. There's a war going on for your heart, for your mind. There is a war, and the devil wants you to become more focused on life, more focused on your job, focused on your health, than focused on your spiritual heart. The devil wants you to be busy. Some of us feed into the schemes of the devil every day because we're just busy, just doing stuff. And they say, well, you say, well, Rev, I'm making money. Is that what it's all about? And we leave ourselves vulnerable for the devil to do what the devil wants to do. And then we start playing these mind games. Like, I got to take care of my family. The Lord will give me this talent. If he didn't want me to do it. Come on, man. Stop. It's 2020. Stop playing games. Are you trusting God or are you not trusting God? If God doggone it got the power to feed the birds of the air and call the lilies of the sea, he got power to take care of you. So are you saying that you trust your abilities more than you do trust God? Cannot be the case. And we spend a lifetime going after stuff instead of going after Jesus Christ. Finally, he says, I got to go because they're looking at me. 13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your guard. Now, here it is. This is what I'm talking about right here. God, be strong in God's preparation. You've got to walk in the power of the armor before. See, some of us, we have been living a life of getting ready in the moment. You see, the moment of preparation is not when it's happening. The moment of preparation is long before the issue rises. You got to put on the full armor of God. And some of us, we think we're so spiritual. We think we've got it all together. I can handle it. You cannot handle this devil by yourself. You've got to have on the armor of God. And if you don't know how to latch it up, latching it up while somebody's trying to stab you is the wrong time to learn how to latch it. Let me accept it. Some of us have been living life that way. We find ourselves busy learning all kinds of information. But when it comes to protecting our hearts, protecting our life, protecting the name of God, we have become very lax. And so we fall victim to what the adversary throws at us. But we've got to use God's armor and be prepared. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. So when the day, listen, some of you all think that life is supposed to be happy and wonderful, but the day is coming. Paul says, when the day, not if the day. When the day comes, we will all have to deal with some days of struggle. The Hill family is not the only family that will deal with death in the family. Sometimes death comes when nobody's prepared for it. In 1998, when my sister was killed in a car accident, and we were not prepared for my 15-year-old sister to die in a car accident. We just left a volleyball game. I was looking to see her when I got to the house and talk about the volleyball game. But I never saw her alive again. Sometimes you got to have the full armor of God, because you just don't know what's getting ready to happen next. When the day comes, when evil comes, you may be able to stand your guard, and after you have done everything, keep on standing. We'll deal with this later on in this week, but in Revelation 12:10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of the brothers and sisters who accuses them before God day and night has been hurled down. Y'all, this is one of the things that the devil does. He is the accuser. And all he wants to do is point a finger. Point a finger and accuse you. He wants to point a finger to tear you down. But I want you to know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And I know what the devil may be pointing a finger at could be the truth. But you know what the real truth is? Is that you have been forgiven, and you now have the time and the opportunity to walk in the grace of God. Okay, I got to go. But verse 14 through 17 says this: stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in peace, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the truth of God's word. So, y'all, this is my last thing that I want to encourage you with today. Here it is. Just put it all on. That's it. Just put it all on. You've got it. You have it. So put it on. Stop walking around here as if you're some super meta human and that you can take the blows of humanity. Because depending on who says the next thing and where they are in your life, you may not have strength to stand on your own. For this cause and reason, you've got to put on the full armor of God. And Paul says, when you put it on, stand firm then. Again, the devil wants to get you off your feet. You do realize there are some things you can shake off just by standing up. Some things fall off when you stand up. I remember when Demetrius was real little, he was always crawling. Well, all the kids did it, but I just remember doing it with him because I really didn't care how he felt because he was a boy. You know, with the girls, you're trying to, you know, be gentle. But when Demetrius, he would crawl on me, and I would stand up, and he'd just go flying. He'd fall on the couch, hit his head on the piano. I'm just joking. My wife was like, what? I'm just joking. And he would love it so much, he would climb back up on me again. Then I stand up, and I say, oh, he'll fall off. Something happens sometimes when you just stand up. Things that are so loose, that really don't bother you, they just tend to fall off. So here Paul says here, stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, y'all, this is interesting, right? This is interesting. We might not be able to talk about this because my time is almost up. The first piece of armor that Paul suggests is this belt, this girdle, some translations say, that you wrap around your waist. y'all see what Paul says? Look at it. He says, this belt of truth buckled around your waist. So there we're supposed to live in a place and space where truth undergirds everything that we do. Where truth undergirds our conversations. So I cannot be in a conversation with someone and it becomes you feel in your spirit like, okay, it's kind of changing. The truth is, let me walk out of it. So I don't have a work wife, and you don't have a work husband, all that kind of stuff, because that's going to take us into an unlawful place. Yeah, the truth is around you. In John 8 and 4, it says that the devil is the father of lies. That's John 8 and 44, I believe. The devil is the father of all lies. So devil is in control of false narratives, these alternative facts. Is another phrase for saying it's a lie. And wherever you have lies, the devil is in control. John 17 and 17 says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So if we are not using God's word to undergird, to gird ourselves, we will not be able to have the rest of the army on us. Well, you say, Mac, why? Because all of the armor is connected to the belt. So if you don't have the truth right, the breastplate of righteousness will not stand. That breastplate is connected. There's a latch on the helmet So if you got a helmet on that's latched onto a breastplate that's not latched onto the belt, what good is it? And we get wondering, why do I keep going through the same thing over and over? And I'm never getting beyond this place spiritually. It's because you're not living in truth. If we don't have God's word in our heart to live in truth, we will not be able to stand and withstand the darts of this world. He goes on to say, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Now, this is interesting. This is interesting. So in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, Paul says this: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So this breastplate of righteousness suggests to us that God has a plan to cover our inside parts. All the place where the vital organs are, the breastplate, which was from the bottom of the neck all the way down to the top of the waist, and it went all the way around, not to the side, but another quarter inch around the side to cover the intestines. So that breastplate must be connected to the belt to cover all of the essential organs. We talked last week that our heart is so crucial in the life of the believer. And there's so synoptic text that talks about the heart and the mind being the same thing. That God desires for us to cover ourselves, not with our own will, but to cover ourselves with his breastplate connected through his word of truth. My friends, I find it very interesting how we want to have the girdle on, the belt on, because the belt is stylish. The girdle sucks things up just right. But we don't complete the arsenal by putting on the breastplate. Because some of us want our chest, our breast to be exposed. We want people to see how well we are put together. Spiritually, don't let your mind go somewhere. Spiritually, we want people to see that we can quote the text and look the part. We want people to see how deep we are in God's word. But what they don't understand is we really don't have the word in our hearts. It's just in our lips. Two completely different things. Because some of y'all can quote a whole lot of verses, but you don't live any of them. You don't even live Jesus well. I come in, don't cry. We don't live Jesus well. But we... All right, well, I got to go. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So Paul here attributes peace now to the character of Jesus Christ, the character of God. And Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and what? There you go. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. In the Greek, peace is the idea of wholeness, of oneness. So Paul is saying that when you are girded right, you got the belt on, you got the breastplate on, when you put on peace. See, the problem is some of us don't want to put it on. Because when we put on peace, that means we got to deal with our own actions, our emotions. And we want to have a little bit of liberty to tell somebody how to go somewhere, give a little bit of peace out of mind. We'll just have a little bit. So we don't want to put the sandals completely on. We may put the sandals on, but we don't strap them. Because we want to have a little bit of liberty just in case. Lord, I'm sorry, it just slipped off. I was minding my own business, and it just fell out, and I had to tell them, oh. You didn't bother to pick it back up and put it on. You just let it go and flying in the wind. You got to put on these that fit your feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So the gospel of peace is Jesus Christ. Christ lived in peace. He is the Prince of Peace. So if we're going to be able to stand with these enemies around us and the devil with his imps trying to cater to our mind and our flesh, we got to walk in God's peace. You got to walk in God's peace. Finally, let me say this. Let me say this, and I got to go. Verse 18 says, now all of this, put on the armor. You got it latched up right. It's latched up the truth. It's there. It's there. I don't know if you've ever gotten your, seen your wife, gentlemen, or ladies get your nails done. And they will put the polish and whatever design, you know, you want on it. So we put a flag and we put their mama's face. It's all kind of designs. They put on their nails down. And after they're done, they put what they call a top coat. Right? They put a top coat on it. And that top coat seals. The top coat. Yeah, I paid for a lot of nails to be done. I just paid for some yesterday. I didn't know what I was paying for. So I paid for a lot of nails and toes. Glory to God. Glory to God. And but they put a top coat on it to seal the color that's up on it and whatever design you put on it. Everybody say back at me, top coat. So here we have the arm of God. There he is, an eschatological spiritual top coat that I believe that God has given us here, and it's called prayer. And pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. And always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Listen, y'all, this is the top coat for God's plan. That when we do all this, that after done all, stand. And as we're standing, pray. God never told Paul to say, stand and fight. See, some of us, they will say, Rev, I like the Bible. I don't like that part. I don't care. God don't care if you don't like it. He didn't say be strong and fight. He said be strong and pray. And this is the casualty of the Christian church. We want to be strong. We want to move to another city because we don't like the neighborhood. No, he said, be strong and pray. So, my friends, as we go down from this place today, challenge is we've got to grow in our prayer life. Because what sense does it make to be fully covered in God's armor and don't have the top coat? What sense would it make for us to go through all the difficulty in life and put on that belt and have it shining, looking good, and connect that breastplate to it and put on that and have that shield, that sword? We didn't get to all that. We'll talk about that later on this week. And have all that stuff on looking good. But we can't walk in authority. See, that's what prayer does. Prayer now changes the game. Prayer now changes the system. You thought you were going to mess me up by putting that thought back in my head, but I pray too hard. I pray too much to allow a thought of you to now mess up the thoughts of God of what I know about myself. I pray too. That's why you got to pray, everybody. You've got to pray. And I understand you say, Rev, I've been praying. Keep on praying. Prayer is never out of order. But what we must do in partnering with God, our prayers to God, is dress the part. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. So my prayer for you, my friends, on today, is that as you are dealing with the emotional roller coasters of your life, that you will be strong today. You do not have to be strong in your own power. You don't have to be strong in your own wit or intellect. Be strong in the Lord. That is our victory today. Not to be strong in connections, making more connections and getting an appointment and all that. No. Be strong in the Lord. You don't need another prescription, rather. You don't. You're good. You don't need to order anything else. Be strong in the Lord. Pray with me. Father, on today, we thank you once again for another opportunity because we have found ourselves being strong in other areas and not strong in you. We've been investing our time, using our resources to become strong in the wrong areas. Father, we need to be strong in you. So we thank you today for another opportunity another chance to get our hearts back in the right fellowship with you. Father, we choose to trust your plan today. We're no longer going to lean to our own understandings. We're going to trust you. We're going to trust you today. And this is the desire of our heart. Father, we can be honest. Some of us have been disappointed in you. Because we don't feel like you've been there for us the way we think you should have been. We feel like you've been slow in how you've been responding to us. Then we are reminded of your word, but you said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And because we were spiritually naked, we were not able to sense your presence. But on today, we're saying to you, Father, that we trust you more than anything else. And we're not going to lean to our own feeble understandings. We're going to acknowledge you in all of this. So right there where you are, would you mind just saying to the Lord, Lord, I trust you. Whatever you want to speak to the Lord about, just speak to God. Speak to God. I don't want to give you the words to say. Just speak to him. That we're going to trust his plan.